Ne 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 ne
Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 2, Episode 12 of Sticky Pickles, The Third Room, and Sashimi Backlash. Okay, Maria, you're kicking us off. Tell us, what is your sticky pickle, The Third Room?
The Third Room. So normally, my picks for our show are loosely interpreted from something I find somewhere, and then I kind of go ham on them.
Inspired from the internet and embellished by you.
Exactly. So I'm making an exception this week. So I had found this story on Reddit that I just could not get out of my head. And try as I might, I could not figure out a way to just loosely take some bits and bobs from the story and make it my own, because every single...
It just was too good.
It's too good. Every detail needed to stay in. So this story is not inspired by Reddit. It is literally from Reddit. Cut and paste. And I will gladly... Because I just am dying to hear what you think about it. We'll put the link to the original thread in the show notes so everybody can read it.
100%.
Okay, so we have Malcolm and Harry. They're two guys in the city. And they are roommates, not buddies, just roommates. And they share an apartment that has three bedrooms. So Harry's in one, Malcolm's in one, and a previous roommate had the third room. I guess during the course of the pandemic or whatever, third roommate moved out.
Okay, so there's like two people living in a three-bedroom apartment.
Correct. And the third apartment.
Two guys.
Two guys, and the third room is empty. Third bedroom. And Malcolm and Harry are just chatting, and they figure, you know, they both make enough money now that they don't really need a third person to help split the rent. They could just, the two of them, keep that third room open and empty, and they don't need to bring somebody else in, and they could use it for something else.
Like, I would love an extra room in my house. Oh my God. If I had an extra room, I'd be like an art studio for me.
Yeah.
That's what I would make.
Highly recommend that. Malcolm's thinking, you know what? I think it'd make a great office for me because I've been working in my bedroom, and I think an office space would be really nice. But Harry's been turning those gears. And
do you know what, though? If one of my roommates said to me, I would like to make it an office, I'd be like, fine, two-thirds rent, one-third rent. Like,
that would be fair.
Because then they get two whole rooms to themselves. Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, if somebody's going to use that space exclusively, for sure, they should cover the rent.
Right.
But like, an office space could potentially be split. It could be like a, you know, whatever. Yeah. But anyway.
Hot desking in the flat.
Yeah. God, it's good. They're going to start talking about synergies. And anyway. That's not really the problem. The issue is when Harry approaches Malcolm, you know, one day over dinner, they're eating out of a TV dinner tray, and goes, you know, I have an idea for that third room. I want to make it a red room.
A red room?
A red room.
I don't know what that means.
And Malcolm real...
It means paint it? Does he mean like I'm reading room?
Red room.
Yeah. Murder room. Murder room. Red drum.
Malcolm, real quick, like on the sly, whips out his phone and like Googles it because he doesn't know what it is. And the first thing that comes up is 50 Shades of Grey. And he's like,
That's a bit SMME.
Yeah. And he keeps looking and he's like, oh, a red room is basically like a sex dungeon room.
Are they fucking these two? Are they together?
No. They are not together at all. No.
They're not lovers, secret lovers or anything.
These two are not with each other. They are literally plain old just roommates, and they're not interested.
Okay.
There's no tension. That would be an amazing twist. Like, secretly, Harry's like, yeah, I want to do you in my sex room. No. Harry is literally like, I am really horny from being stuck in quarantine. And when I eventually start bringing the ladies back to our apartment for some good times, I think it'd be great if I could show them my sex room.
Okay, Maria, you're going to need to educate me. I'm just imagining I'm on the dating scene and the guy's like, yeah, let's go back to mine. I'm like, okay, great. And then
I have a sex room that I share with my roommate.
We get there. What? Okay, the door opens. Okay. What would be in said sex room? Like, are we talking like a bed and what, handcuffs on the wall type thing? Or
I would presume accoutrement of various types and pain settings would be in there. I would assume some sort of surface upon which fucking can happen would be in there. I would assume things that vibrate would be in there.
I guess my question is, right, like if you brought someone home, right, and you were into that kind of stuff, you would still probably not want to go ta-da with a big whole room, right? You might want to just go, oh, look at this cat of nine tails, isn't this fun? Kabuki, right? Like, you don't just, I don't know, it's a bit like, I don't know,
it's a creepy
too much too quick, too much. Okay, yeah. So he wants to build a sex room. What does Malcolm think about this?
Yeah, so Malcolm's like, okay, that's creepy as hell. We're not doing that.
And yeah, so like,
and,
no.
No. He comes down on that hard. He goes, no. And Harry's like, you're an asshole. And they start arguing. And Malcolm's view is that whatever they do with that third room, they both need to agree to it. And if Malcolm says, I'm not comfortable with a sex room, then we're not doing it. And Harry says, well, what is your idea for this room? And Harry's like, well, maybe an office, but I admittedly do not have a better idea.
It's a little bit more boring. Right.
And then Harry counters and says, well, if you don't know what to do with this room, why don't we just make it a sex room until you do have a better idea? And it shouldn't even bother you because there won't be anyone in the sex room until at least quarantine is over.
So what the heck is he going to do?
Oh. Malcolm's like, what is the point of having a sex room?
In a sex room, do you have like a little wipey, you know, like clean wipes, like coming out of the wall, like so you can grab them?
A sterilization station, like a little cart,
a little cart
with the wipes and the spray. Honestly, probably in a professional setting, I would actually expect. I mean, I've never been to a place like this. It's not my thing, but yeah.
Once stayed in an Airbnb.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. Yes. Yeah.
And I was staying there with a friend. We were meeting there, basically. And he likes to do things on the cheap, right? He likes it, like, dirt cheap. So anyway, we got this place. And the guy literally just moved out that 4 minutes before we arrived for us to stay there. But there was a cum shot on the television that was dried.
That is... Oh, my God. That is so disgusting. Oh, God.
I still gave them 5 stars. Why? Why? I know, it eats me alive still.
That is the scandal right there. That.
Well, it was because it was like so cheap. I was just like, I didn't even need a TV.
Human fluids left on various surfaces.
I didn't touch it.
Well,
I didn't touch
but
it.
But it was there.
Anyway, I digress. I apologize. Yeah.
No.
No sex room, though.
No. Well, see, so Malcolm's like, no, that's creepy. And what's the point of having one if no one's going to be using it? And then Harry says, in what I consider a galaxy brain move, what is the point of not having one?
Ooh. Mm.
So that was where the post ended, basically going, what do I do? And I just wanted to know what you thought of this whole situation, because I don't know how it resolves. I don't know what we would advise Malcolm, and I just wanted to hash that out with you, Kroll. Because I, because you're gonna be like 5 stars.
It's just really hard, right? Part of me right now is so bored by our current existence.
They're like, bring
it on. That sounds great. Yeah, that just sounds. I'd be like,
you just
yes!
want the drama. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I would just sit there with a big bowl of popcorn and watch who goes in and come out and go, how's it going, Malcolm?
You would be able to hear how it's going.
Yeah.
You would definitely.
Yeah, soundproofing would definitely have to be part of the package.
Yeah, unless they live in like a cemented basement with like very heavy walls. I don't think you're going to soundproof that too much.
I just don't understand why you need a sex room. Like, why doesn't his bedroom his sex room?
Great questions. I think my guess is Harry probably thinks that some woman will find this sexy, that he has this whole room just for sex that is not a bedroom.
Yeah. Okay, Harry. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm sure
some would, but it's niche. It's quite niche.
Yeah. I'm like, has he met many women? I mean, I you're right. There are women who would be really into that, but
yeah.
And I, of course, I'm also assuming he's hetero. I have absolutely no idea. I think most people would probably find that real creepy at the outset, unless you were actively, well, you know what though? Having a roommate makes it weird, especially if you have a roommate that's not into it, then you're doing it without their consent. And then that gets into like consent issues. And that's really, really creepy.
I think I would say, yes, let's have the sex room. But then I would be in there a lot, like playing chess.
I don't think you'd want to do that. Oh, you'd still give it 5 stars, though. You'd be like, yeah. The way he could spin it would be like, I will be the person who cleans and disinfects everything, but you better start like paying me a salary. And I don't know what money would be worth it for that. Like putting on the hazmat suit.
Oh my God, Maria, that's too disgusting. You'd clean up after the guy? Like, you'd have to be charging a lot of money. Yeah, maybe Harry's thinking of, like, renting the room out or something. He's trying to just offset the salary, you know, the money.
Oh, that's even worse, though. You'll have, like, a rotating cast of people coming.
Maybe he wants to make this his job. He wants to webcam the sex room.
Yo, don't do that in a place where you live. That seems There's all kinds of dangerous.
There's loads of people that do it from places they live.
Yeah, but, like, with a roommate?
Oh, yeah. No. I think they'd have to be a little pinky swear.
There's got to be, like, there. A WeWork situation or one of those, like, not remote desking. What are those? Like, collaborative workplaces, yeah. Like WeWork, right? There's got to be one of those for sex rooms.
Yeah, but I get the idea. It's like hot desking. It's kind of nice to have your own desk, though.
Having your own sex room.
That's what he wants, right? I get that now. Now that I've thought about it in terms of a desk, I do like having my own desk.
It's true.
I like having my drawers with my stuff in it.
But, like,
he wants to know where his cat o' nine tails is at all times.
Why would he not just keep that in his own room?
I don't know. That's so bizarre. So I just swap it, saying, no. The sex room is your bedroom, and this is going to be, like, whatever else is in there, like your PlayStation, whatever. And do whatever the fuck you want in your room.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just wondering, realistically, if this had happened to me and I was Malcolm, would I be able to even want to live with Harry anymore?
But why not?
I would be like, I can't look you in the eye, because that was super creepy what you just proposed.
Well, I think it depends. Like, if there's, like, you know, Jesus handcuffs on the wall and, like, flamethrowers, that's a different story from, like,
whoa,
here's a feather boa, right? Sex room means different things to different people.
Jesus handcuffs and a flamethrower. What? What is... Those are extremely specific, Kroll, and I feel like there's a story here you need to tell me. Because
next! Isn't it my story time?
Yeah. I'm going to be chewing on those details for a little while. That's fascinating. All right, Kroll, what is yours to kick?
Well, I'm, sashimi backlash.
Sashimi backlash.
So we join Ken. He's on a plane heading to a meeting on the other side of the planet. And he is feeling a little bit pissy because somehow his colleagues are flying in, like, the upper class, not first class, but the whatever, middle upper class.
Business class,
while he's in coach. And it grates, right? Mm. And worse, he's sitting beside this annoying, happy-as-a-lamb, chatty Cathy type.
Oh, been there, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, thank God for headphones.
Bose noise-canceling headphones, yeah.
So Ken works in finance. And, you know, he comes across, he thinks, is a pretty likable, self-assured guy, right?
Okay.
Things just kind of typically go his way, except that he's in coach. You know, generally he feels smarter, he's better looking, and he knows it. Proof, like, the flight attendant winked at him, right, when showing him to his middle aisle seat. So, you know, despite the cattle class, he still has it. But mid-flight, Ken realizes he doesn't feel very well.
Uh-oh.
You know, like, that kind of cold sweat feeling you have, like, you're hot, but you're cold at the exact same time, and it happens, like, pretty fast, and you're suddenly like, uh-oh.
And there's a rumbly in your tumbly.
Yeah. A gutsy sort of way. Yeah.
Oops.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe he shouldn't have eaten a glut of sashimi before boarding the plane.
Oh, no. Airport sushi. Really?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yep. Ken. Rookie error.
Yikes.
And as though there was, like, pathetic fallacy happening right there, and then the smooth flight suddenly turns slightly bumpy. Okay? every time the plane jerks, his tummy knots and twists. And it's just, like, it's got to the point where he's like, this is really not good. This is not good, says Ken.
No.
Okay, so if you're Ken at this stage... Any thoughts,
nightmare.
Questions? Like, well, yeah, you're thinking nightmare. Like, this is just
I would already be beelining for the bathroom. I do not risk it. I would not be like, I'm going to muscle through it. No.
Yeah. See, Ken, being maybe, you know, the guy in finance that he is, right?
maybe if I sit here quietly, it'll go away.
He's like, I'm going to hold everything in until we land, because we're landing in a few hours. It's going to be fine.
A few hours? That's an eternity. I mean, if it was like you're doing your right? touchdown thing now, it's 5 minutes to landing, then yeah, you got to sit.
But, exactly.
A few hours. That's just go. What are you doing?
Yeah. And he is starting to feel distinctly Mount Etna-ish.
Sorry, I actually know people who've been in this situation. So not me, but I know people who've like, oh God, I have stories. I have so many stories.
So yeah. So, you know, basically there's turbulence. He's got horrible gut feeling. It's the worst. It's the worst,
I'm
right?
I'm getting sympathy stomach pains right now.
And then he goes, okay, you know what? I'm not going to make this. I'm not making it till we ground the flight, right? Yeah. This is no way. I need to evacuate. bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
The buckle up sign is on, because of course it is, because the flight is all churny, churny, turbulence, turbulence. And flight attendant, cutie, that winked at him earlier, is going around making sure everyone's buckled up and stays seated.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yep. And she looks at him, she goes, hey, you all right?
You look a little green.
Yeah. So what do you do there, okay? It's like, she's cute.
You gotta puke, I'm sorry. Like...
He can't say anything. He cannot face her pity. He cannot, because he knows this, whatever's going to happen is not going to be good. He knows it's not going to be good. He cannot have her as an ally during this experience.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, he's got to literally start jumping over seats or something. I don't know.
He's squeezing every muscle together right now.
Yeah.
And with every minute, it's getting worse. And he's sweating.
Oh, my God.
And it's desperate.
I am starting to break out in sweat.
Yeah, that buckle up light is just not going off. He's just told himself, now I'm just going to wait for that. You know, churn, churn goes the plane.
No, just go, dude.
Chatty Cathy turns and says, hey, can I hold your hand? I hate turbulence.
No.
He can't take it. He cannot take it. He unstraps, whips out of the seat, hurls himself down the aisle like a whacked out slinky.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
But he did leave it a teeny weeny tiny bit too late.
No.
Like, he doesn't know if he's going to make it. And, like, he's being thrown into this huge guy who looks like he's going to punch him in the face. And his body's starting to heave, right, to remove whatever is poisoning him.
Oh, my God.
He makes the door. Mm. He gets to the door. Thank fuck. And he flies into the facilities. You know, the turbulence. He rips down his trousers. But, no, there's a timing niggle. In his glee of having made it, he relaxed a tiny, tiny bit.
This is so gross. This is so disgusting. Oh, my God.
It sounds like a
situation is what it is.
His butt explodes before his cheeks kiss the seat. Okay?
Oh, no. God.
The floor.
Ah, no. No, no, no.
The wall.
No. No. Oh,
the seat,
are you kidding?
His trousers. No, I am not kidding. This is a true story as well. Not mine, okay. But it is a true story. And it's too much. Okay. And the smell is so ripe.
And those bathrooms are
right?
So
because
tiny.
It's, and he's in the tiny little.
Oh,
now, okay,
man.
So Maria.
I'm pretty sure the Bush administration made that like a Guantanamo torture chamber situation. Like sitting in your own feces in an airport.
So gross. Okay. What do you do, Maria? Like, okay, so basically, you know, without getting too gory, you have a number.
you passed that threshold a while ago. I'm literally, like, wiping my own skin right now, being like, I feel really dirty just listening to this. This is fun. There's poop everywhere. What do? Is that the question?
Yes.
Throw yourself out the airplane door. You're done. just whip it open and cast thyself out, because what, I mean.
Do you call the attendant?
No! Are you joking? You're going to inflict another person with it? No.
Do you clean up? Do you start pulling out the wet wipes from the little hand towels?
Honestly, if.
You do a runner.
No. My brain is just shutting down, being like, I don't want to think about this anymore. This is so terrible. There's somebody I know who was coming back from a trip home, not home, but like to visit her family in India. And she got really bad deli belly on the trip back to the United States. And like, it's like, what, like, I've done that trip once. It was like 12 hours to Europe and then like another 7 hours to the United States. Somewhere over like Afghanistan, her whole body just gave up and like everything came out everywhere. And I believe she literally just stayed in the bathroom until they landed and then, like, once everybody was off the plane, she was like, I've been in here the whole time and somebody needs to just like hose it down. Just like, just don't come in here. Just somebody hose it down.
That, okay, also, that actually is probably a good thing because then you're kind of owning up to it. But after...
Because nobody's going to use that after you. That bathroom's out of commission. Totally. Like, even if you wipe it down.
Yeah, it's not like the sex room, right? This is way, way worse.
Like it still needs to be disinfected. I mean, it's not clean.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I mean, if it wasn't a complete situation and it was just bad, I would say maybe you exit real quick and then stand in front of the door and, like, discreetly flag someone down and be like, there was an incident.
Yeah.
I'm not casting blame, but this bathroom is disgusting. It cannot be used.
Well, do you want to know what Ken does?
Flushed himself down the toilet. I don't know.
He looks himself in the mirror and he says, what are cleaning crews for? What are cleaning crews for? So he cleans himself up as best he can as to whatever. And he legs it back to his seat, sits down, ow! Says nothing. Says
and then he
nothing.
Just waits to hear somebody scream when they open that door and goes,
His thought is, there's less than an hour left on the flight. With all the turbulence and stuff, maybe there's a possible chance that absolutely nobody goes in there until he's escaped into the maze of the terminal. The plane starts its descent and turbulence starts to dissipate. And passengers start organizing their stuff, you know, getting ready for landing, you know, where are my headphones, my book, my neck pillow. Mm-hmm. But Ken can't find his passport. And he looks under his seat, in the pocket, through his bag, where all the crumbs and the wrappers, the previous flights are, all that gross stuff, can't find anywhere. It's his fault because he escaped to the loo, right? And he left all his shit unattended. Like, he left his seat. He didn't even think about his passport when he ran off.
Okay, well, is he thinking a seatmate stole his passport?
Or maybe his colleagues in first class decided to play a joke on him. He doesn't know. He can't find it anyway. You know when you go through your bag like 14 times? Like, I checked this pocket, I checked that pocket, I checked this pocket. And he can't find it anywhere. And he barks, you know, questions at Chatty Cathy, who's like so pissed off with him because he wouldn't hold his hand. So, you know, she's just like, how dare you?
Does she notice that he smells like poo?
But then ping pong, the voice of the angel. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe one of you may have lost a passport. And he's like, thank God. And it continues, we think there might be one lying on the floor behind the toilet of the rear facilities. We cannot be sure because the room has been severely compromised with, yes. If you cannot locate your passport, please make your way now to the rear facility so you can retrieve your own
documents.
Oh
my God. I'm it's a shame that this is not a video podcast because the faces I have been making this whole time, I'm just like, I can't even really think of anything to say because I'm just like, oh God, it's so, and I know this happens. And I'm just like, these poor flight attendants who have to deal with this shit.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And he dropped it. So it was in his back pocket because.
Okay. Lesson learned. Don't keep your passport in your trousers.
You see, Maria, you came up with the moral of the story. I didn't think it was possible. You're amazing.
That's fair.
That's it for this week's Sticky Gross Pickles.
Shitty pickles.
If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review.
Talk to us on social media because we're at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. Anything else like rating and reviewing and being like, no more poopy stories? You can do that at stickypickles.com. See you next week.
Bye bye.
This Sticky Pickles episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria Varmazas and Carol Terrio. Inspired by the internet, embellished by us. Except where it wasn't and where we directly quoted, and links will be in the show notes.
Boom.